in, and I have the opportunity to talk with Mr. Mark Cashman from the IMM team. How are you doing today, Mark?
I'm doing good, Kirk. Thank you for inviting me to come back here and or come here and talk a little bit about IMM. And IMM is the Interactive Media Manager solution here at Microsoft, and I am the product manager.
What is IMM?
What is IMM? I love that question.
Yeah, big question, right? What is Interactive Media Manager?
So at the core, IMM is a solution that's built on top of SharePoint 2007. And what we do, essentially, after you take the IMM plus SharePoint, is we've become this collaborative, rich media management solution. And a lot of people, you know, the catchphrase within enterprise content management is digital asset management.
Right.
So IMM is a digital asset management platform solution. And, you know, we take advantage of a lot of the R&D in SharePoint, and we bubble that up for how people want to manage and collaborate around the rich media assets.
Well, that was a lot. You know, I'm taking notes. I'm going to ask you about some of this stuff later in the
Okay.
Help me understand, is IMM, is it a product? Is it something that you go in a store, you buy in a box, or is it a solution, a starter kit? What? Help us understand, what is the delivery for IMM?
So delivery, for sure, it is for sure a solution, and I think the best definition of a Microsoft solution is a connecting of other technologies to create a new offering. Built on top of SharePoint 2007, and we're also built, some of our components are installed into SQL Server 2005. And the other main component is when we start talking about storage. So being a solution and how we are not necessarily a out-of-box product that you would buy, you know, at Best Buy or through a volume licensing program, we certainly have those dependencies on those products that are sold in that way. And then we are some new IP built on top of those technologies that enable us to then have SharePoint as a digital asset management platform.
Well, cool. So that means if you're built on SharePoint, you get a lot of the SharePoint goodness, stuff like you get all the search capabilities and the collaboration and also the extensibility through .NET as well, right?
The huge advantage for us on building on top of SharePoint is, and I guess maybe one of the clarifying points that we get a lot of questions on, is if you install IMM into the SharePoint environment, does it take over the SharePoint environment? Does it require a separate SharePoint server or farm?
Right.
And the answer is no. And hopefully it addresses what you're asking. I mean, certainly, you know, the reason we made that choice with SharePoint is there's a whole lot that team has done, and there's a lot of research and development that has gone into the 2007 product that fits exactly what it is we're looking to achieve.
Do you have any kind of more information, I guess, towards the architecture side?
So at the very top, one of the things that we're pretty proud of, and this is granted riding on the back of SharePoint and some of our web components are built using Silverlight, it gives us the ability to be cross-platform and cross-browser. So keep that in mind, and then, you know, when we start looking at mobile, we also have a story there in terms of keeping people connected that are a part of the production cycle, but also, you know, maybe mobile at certain times. But diving into the architecture at the top here, and hopefully this will record well, at the top here, we've got essentially the SharePoint environment. What is the user interface and some of the administration features of IMM as they appear in SharePoint? And everything that's in this blue color is a new IMM component. And a lot of them in this upper piece are media-focused web parts that do very specific activities that are very well connected to the assets, very well connected to the metadata associated to those assets, and give end users those tools to work with the assets, essentially that DAM component, that digital asset management component. The nice thing about the SharePoint environment is it not only is cross-browser, cross-platform, but it's really intended for a very broad set of end users that at different points in time in a production life cycle, you know, are going to be doing different things with the assets, projects, campaigns, and et cetera. So this top layer is really meant for, you know, a lot of people. These are the things that people will see. And so we've got the import tool, we've got the media library, we've got the media viewer, which is very capable of showing video, audio, and images. The ability to annotate is part of our collaboration story so that people can add comments and you know, work with the assets and have that be sort of a work-in-progress layer of metadata. Rough Cut Editor, you know, is a great tool. I think we'll look at it a little bit. So going from the top down, everything is visual. In the middle here are web services that drive the activities to the back-end systems. And the three that we really highlight here are core to the solution and are really used in any and every deployment. and they ultimately lead into a connection to SQL, which is where we ultimately store the metadata, and they ultimately lead also to a storage, a storage area network, or the storage of choice. It might be a preference that we've got some streaming storage, we've got a storage area network, and then maybe even HSM for tape backup and a more tiered approach to storage.
Something that kind of caught my eye looking at this is over on the right and underneath the IMM SDK and tools, you see that it's using SharePoint Workflow Runtime and IMM Workflow Activities. That's using Windows Workflow Foundation under the covers, right?
Yeah. I mean, we dive down to .NET 3.0 at the core, and that's something that we're proud of because not all of our competitors are doing that. When they talk about workflow, oftentimes it either doesn't go down to the core, it doesn't have to be Windows Workflow, but it certainly doesn't go down to the core of their engine. Or they're talking about it within a very confined space within their offerings, not very well integrated or integration possibilities. So we definitely tap in, and that's a big thing that we use within SharePoint is that runtime engine. It gives us the manageability and repeatability of a lot of these tasks and activities throughout the lifecycle business processes. And they really drive our points of integration. So we've got a lot of integration points out of the box, just SharePoint, Office, BizTalk and Dynamics, and there's a lot of Microsoft type of integration. But we also talk about partner integration, and these are in previously just sort of in the what is IMM, that part about taking advantage of existing technologies is the capability we have through workflow and workflow activities to connect with third-party applications. And oftentimes when we come into the conversation or people are evaluating IMM, they already have investments that they've made in companies like Telestream for transcoding, or companies like Aspera for file transfer management, or when we start talking about the storage area network and some of those very robust applications that are managing the SAN, companies like Quantum or Sambolic. And across the board, we've got a lot of different partners that we connect with, and a lot of the ways that we achieve that is via a workflow and a workflow activity. And certainly, you know, we're taking full advantage of how open are their APIs, what kinds of things can we do. And most of it is to drive it at the middle layer through web services and expose it to the end user via web parts and give them choices, give them capabilities without having to switch off of SharePoint, without having them to learn another UI, you know, additional training to get, X number of people up to speed on a different technology.
Oh, so that's a cool approach. So that kind of takes any of my development background or my experience with SharePoint and Moss and being able to use the Office platform, being able to bring that forward as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, since we're built on SharePoint, you know, a skill set that's great to bring into the mix is somebody who knows SharePoint. And, you know, what we bring into the mix, there are some new components, but at the core, you know, we just take advantage of how SharePoint is shipped out of the box, just like everybody else. So what we see here is essentially IMM running on SharePoint with a little branding capability here for the company. And you know, you can see on the left-hand side some of the typical SharePoint things, and I won't dive into those because we want to focus on the IMM stuff. First is this media library. This is a template that's to be defined by the customer. What do they want to see at this level? And you could have multiple media libraries that show different layers or different levels of information per project, per asset. This could be on a search results page. You get, you know, sort of the same look and feel, and you define what you want to see. So at this layer, we're just seeing that this is a folder, and within this folder, there are several Betty Boop cartoons, and the same throughout these different buckets that you see here. But what we're really doing is this media library is a template that's very connected to the IMM RDF repository, which is where our metadata is stored. And ultimately, it's stored in SQL, but it goes through an RDF translation engine, which for us we title the IMM RDF repository. But it is what drives this media library. This is the metadata for this particular project folder. And as I dive in, again, I'm going to kind of jump into a preloaded folder. As I dive into the folder, you'll see now I'm exposing the different assets. And on the left-hand side, we're actually auto-generating the thumbnail straight off the digital file. And that now is a visual representation of, you know, the asset. I could, if I wanted to, you know, if it was important to the company, I could add ratings, I could add tags, which would be just sort of a work-in-progress type of metadata. Potentially could be very key to building out a project. And then when I click this button here, you'll see I'm exposing a larger set of metadata. Everything we're doing is driven by AJAX. So if I were to get this video playing, and I'm just going to do that real quickly here, So once this gets playing, I'm just going to maneuver around a few things on the left-hand side here so we can start to see that as I start to ask or request for other information, it doesn't stop the playback of the video. So we think that's a nice way to experience the UI as people are working with an asset or across multiple assets on a project. So now we're looking at a Silverlight-based media player. This plays video, audio, and image files, and it also is time code accurate. So we're accurate down to the frame. And probably in this recording, it's really hard to see, but what we're seeing here in this number where my arrow is pointing are the actual frames clicking by. And if I pause it and I step through it frame by frame, you'll see that we're moving, you know, that number one frame at a time. The other thing, real quickly, as far as the player is concerned, is I can also very easily go full screen and, you know, experience the media at the highest quality that I have for the best experience for my, you know, playback before I start to do, you know, a level of review and approval. And then the very last thing, and I'm just going to pause this playback here, is the idea of marking in and then marking out and adding a comment, a work-in-progress piece of metadata to an asset in line with a project. So real quickly.
Oh, that's pretty cool. So you're able to, on the fly, throw metadata about the frame that you're looking at, right?
Exactly. So I could add a piece of metadata on a frame if I wanted to call it a specific frame or a range of frames, so obviously maybe a minute or two of footage. And the scenario might be that I have an hour-long raw interview footage, and I want to identify or pass along the information that from 2 minutes, 3 seconds, 5 frames, to 3 minutes, 10 seconds, 2 frames, I really like this interview piece. I'd really like to see that in the final edit. And that's what we're doing. We're giving, you know, tools and features around, you know, building out a work in progress, and then giving, also taking advantage of SharePoint, putting that review and approval process around working with an asset, bringing it from maybe an idea in somebody's head, a script, a treatment, all the way through an editing, drafts, versions, similar to how you would think of using SharePoint for documents, you know, office documents or lighter weight documentation, giving people the ability to version control, to layer in metadata comments and push it and pull it to various people to get their feedback, ultimately leading to getting consensus and bringing it to a final version. So something that maybe will be finally edited in a professional editing suite. Or it may just be a straight output to the web, and, you know, we just manage the workflow to create the asset in the format that they require. And if we're not working with video, obviously the tools support how people build out and work with images. And that might be just working on something that's meant to be printed, a billboard, a web advertisement, or multimedia in some fashion. So, you know, real quick, when I click save here, all I'm saving is very lightweight metadata that's now associated to this asset that's associated to this project site. Or you could bubble it up and make it available. So hopefully you see here, there's the comment, Channel 9 rocks. And so let me move through, show you real quickly, working with images. It's pretty quick, but I've got an image loaded up here. This is, again, another view on a different build-out of a media library. But specifically, the assets here are photos. So what you'll see here is I'm just rolling and scrolling my mouse and zooming in on the asset. And Silverlight is kind of crazy here. I can zoom in as much as I want. It'll really never stop zooming. So hopefully what you can see here, obviously I've zoomed in, and you can see here, if I were to use the button controls, you know, I'm now at 775%, and I can keep going, keep going, keep going, but I can also pan around. And this is real key when people are reviewing final print assets or final image assets, and they're looking for the imperfections. And just like video, I can go full screen, and I'll see the full asset here in a second.
Okay, so we were talking a little bit about the video experience before. So throwing the metadata up about that and saving the metadata, that's very different than trying to do like markers and encoding into the actual file, right? It's just external metadata.
Sure. So when we're tracking the time code, we're talking about the real time code of the master asset. In IMM, we're working with a lower resolution that has a direct, very well-connected relationship to that master asset, same time code. And so in these tools, you know, obviously are identifying real mark-in, real mark-out points.
One of the interviews that our group recently did, a guy on our team, Michael Schroeder, he did an interview with a group, Stars, and that they were using some of the, our IMM technology behind the scenes. Can you elaborate on that?
Certainly. We're very proud of what's going on at Stars. Stars is a company in just outside of Denver, Colorado, that's putting up content on cable. You know, you navigate to Stars and you watch great content. They've got a number of live channels. They've got a number of video on demand offerings. And one thing that they focus on that really gives them, you know, their unique branding opportunity is outside of the movies that they play, because they put a great lineup on there, they build out their own promotional materials. So they're building out the trailers, they're building out the documentaries, and some of the footage from the set, those types of things. But up the top here is a search web part, very simple search web part based on keywords. And it could also have a lot of filter capabilities, so if they wanted to do a search on for a movie, they could also have a filter that only gave them certain media longer than 10 minutes or of a certain file format. But what they've done here is they found these assets. This was just a demo that they gave to us about how they would build out a new asset for a 24-hour marathon on Warren Miller. And give them the ability to find the content and then start to work with it, start to identify what are the cool clips, what do they want to put in the promotional trailer. And they do several promotional trailers per movie or per, you know, special. And for this one, they were doing the 2 days, you know, 2 days before the event. So coming up in 2 days on Stars, and then they, you know, navigate through. So here are the assets that they've selected. These are the full length. These are hour-long movies. And similar to how we see in the demo of IMM, just vanilla, this would be something where you could click on this asset and it would start playing here in the media player. And then you could start marking in and then marking out and identifying what are the clips that I want to see in my 30-second trailer or my 1-minute trailer. And as you'll see here, this is where we're adding in the comments and then storing them and relating to this asset as they relate to this new project. And this essentially will become an edit decision list that gets loaded as a sequence in Avid, and they schedule that time and that resource to do the editing, the professional editor, to basically build out this 30-second trailer, which you'll see on air, you know, about 2 weeks after they start working on building out the promo, and sometimes shorter if there's tighter deadlines.
Oh, wow. So they're able to turn that around pretty quick.
Very quick. I mean, for them, the stopping or the one limitation is that they just have a hard time scheduling the editing bay. So the Avid bays, they don't have a ton of them, that they've got a lot, but they still have to, you know, be mindful of scheduling the editor, the person, in the editing bay, and the room itself. They own it, so it's not a financial thing. It's a matter of time. So they're doing all of this work before they get into the editing bay. So hopefully that saves them the you know, the sort of fumbling through the messaging and the positioning and sort of the flow of the video. And they can really, in the editing bay, which again is for a lot of companies expensive and hard to schedule, this would give them the ability to focus on color correction, being able to really work with the soundtrack, being able to work with some of the special effects and the like. Of course, you know, we're just focused on rough editing, but it gives them the tools to prep to really be successful and be very mindful and productive once they're actually in the editing bay. And I'll show you what we're working on in our next release, which is very much working with video and image and audio assets in the sense of rough cut editing. All right, so this is the IMM Silverlight-based rough cut editor. Hopefully you can see it's in context with SharePoint. You know, it's a different look and feel, obviously a different testing environment. This is in beta right now, and this will be a part of the version 2 of IMM, what we'll be bringing to the NAB conference in April, essentially. So hopefully you can see we're talking in the context of SharePoint. But what we're really talking about is how do people repurpose the assets that they have or work with in line with building out a project. How do they work with those assets to be able to be, you know, working with the accurate time code and pass along the information to their colleagues as they prep for a professional edit or as they prep for a final asset to be conformed on the back end and have that posted out to various distribution points. So what I'm doing here is I'm just navigating through the media bin. This is the assets that I've selected for this project to work with. And I'm just very quickly using these slider bars to mark in, mark out, and drag down to the timeline. And as you see, I'm starting to build out an edit decision list. And these assets, specifically here are actually being hosted in San Francisco. So I'm really working server-side here. This is not a desktop client-side application, and these assets have not been downloaded to my system. They're in cache, but they're not downloaded to my system. So I'm not really touching or affecting my main repository, which is driving what shows up here. There's a main library. This might be hundreds, if not thousands, of assets. There's the media bin, which I've collected the assets that I've identified that I want to work on for this project. And then once I start working with them, I'm actually now working with the subunits of these clips and identifying real mark-in, mark-out points. And for the sake of in the browser, I'm talking about the proxy or the lower resolution files. But when I actually export this and move on to the next part of my project, which is maybe to online this into an editing environment, I'm just handing off real mark-in, mark-out with a call-out to the master asset, which might be a tape sitting on a shelf waiting to be digitized, but only this little small moment, not the full tape. And really flexible there, obviously, on how people work. So now that I've got three assets here, I'm just going to quickly play back the timeline. So you'll see, obviously, the way that the rough cut editor is intended. So we're playing from clip to clip very quickly, server side, rough cut editing.
Oh, and, wow, this is really cool.
So, you know, that real quickly is, you know, the intent. Obviously, we're giving a rough cut edit tool that's server side available to anybody who has permissions to work on this project or is brought into the project. It's browser-based. It's Silverlight component, so it's cross-browser, cross-platform. And we're also going to have capabilities where people can add in titles that will overlay. And for those out there familiar with Silverlight, these will just be XAML templates that can be configured. Obviously, some will ship out of the box, but they can also be brought in new. So if they have preferred titles or lower thirds that they want to bring in, they can do that. But real quickly, you know, somebody could type in a title, a subtitle, and build off from there. We're going to have capabilities to do simple transitions. And certainly, one of the cornerstones of IMM is the ability to comment. And so let's say somebody else had worked on this particular project and selected these three clips down here, and they had done some work navigating through, you know, a couple hours of footage and narrowed it down to these are the three, and this is at least their draft one. So I come here as a reviewer, and now I want to add a comment and, you know, provide the collaborative feedback that this person has requested from me, either in line with a workflow or just ad hoc. They just said, hey, can you check this out? They sent me a link. I opened it up, and now I'm going to add my comments. And again, I'm just going to maybe be the teacher's pet here and say Channel 9 rocks. And showcase that obviously I'm putting a comment in. It's now added to this project site as an additional piece of metadata, or, you know, at the end of the day, but a new comment that I can filter by user. I can search on the note now that I've typed in channel. You'll see that real quickly I can do a search on a keyword, and now I can only see that comment. And as I back off of that, you'll see all the comments, and I could also search and filter by date or starting time. Now, when I go in and start to experience this down to the end user, you'll see that the intent would be that they would come in here, review the comment, but also see it in line with the piece of video that it relates to. Oh. And as I navigate through the different comments, hopefully you can see some of the UI that we've been working on is, you know, nice Silverlight UI, giving people a nice friendly environment to collaborate around a project that's a work in progress or near final.
Where this would be useful, it would be something like if you were previewing commercial flyovers, like you're doing bumper ads or lower thirds,
yep.
Where you want to see, are you covering an important scene during the show that you're going to advertise in? This would be a really useful tool for something.
Absolutely.
Like that.
This is something where if we were doing, you know, built-in advertising, we could build in the hooks so that at a certain point in time in a final, you know, outputted file, there would be a hook to an advertisement that would play maybe in a separate media player that's, you know, hosted on the internet, and at that particular point in time, it would call up that ad, or it would call up maybe an ad service that would serve, you know, related content based on whatever intelligence they've built into that hosted media player for the end user. But, you know, it's definitely a work in progress tool. It's a feature of IMM, Silverlight based, very, you know, flexible, very lightweight to the end user as far as the experience. But we're passing around very solid data, real edit decision lists, real time code, real assets that they care about. You know, these are assets that, you know, but sort of without this type of tool, without a web-based rough cut editor, they'd have to check out and get a lot of physical tapes and have a local machine to play back the tapes. And that can be cumbersome. That can also be hard to pass around. And this is something that's a lot more lightweight, but, you know, just as important in terms of the information that's enabling to be passed around.
And then something else that kind of caught my attention here is what you were talking about, we're doing the server-side rough cut editing, that the videos are not stored local, they're cached, but they're coming out from a server, you said, San Francisco?
Yeah, well, this particular dev environment, because this right now is in beta 1, the application and the assets themselves are down in San Francisco, and that's just a matter of our dev cycles and who's working on it here at Microsoft.
Sure.
But it also showcases that because we're browser-based and these files are proxies, the experience is good. And you know, I'm here in Redmond, Seattle, Washington, USA, and, you know, connecting with essentially how I could be working in a real environment through the browser, but not at the headquarters, not on-site, not, you know, VPN'd in. Obviously, we certainly follow all of the security and permissions rules as a company would. But once we get here, I want the experience to be good, and hopefully that just showcases that even you know, just in a dev environment, we're sort of focused on not having the server under my desk. It's in cache, so certainly have a good experience for the playback. We're not streaming it because we still want to be frame accurate. We want to be able to step through and you know, do all the things that we do already in IMM at the player level. But we don't want to limit it to having to have somebody install a client application on their desktop and then have to pull the files down. And now you've got the digital files on the SAN and you've got the digital files on the person's desktop. They certainly don't want that. We wouldn't want to build it that way because it's a little clunky. And this gives, you know, a nice lightweight environment, but for people to achieve, you know, very direct results in line with how they would work, you know, in another fashion, but without, you know, a lot of, hopefully with a lot of productivity gain, a lot of additional collaborative tools and methods for the way that they could bring in additional people that they might not have thought to bring in or might have brought in a different way. Teams that are maybe a part of the marketing team or the legal teams or PR, or certainly the creative and production folks as well, executive producers, directors, and the like. So we think it's a great feature of IMM version 2, soon to be released shortly after NAB. And, you know, we're very excited about what the Silverlight team is doing, very excited about, you know, that we're able to do this in the SharePoint environment. And we know that it's going to be, we think, a useful tool for people who are essentially building up new assets, working with rough cut and work in progress type of projects and campaigns.
One other question that I wanted to try to clarify before we end the interview is
sure.
That you've mentioned a couple of times about the storage and where the media is coming. The media here is not actually stored in SharePoint. It's not sitting inside a SharePoint list, right?
That's correct. So to be very clear, because we think this is one of our big differentiators on what is SharePoint and some of the things that IMM, you know, what is not SharePoint. So for IMM, the two main things that we do outside of the SharePoint out of the box is where do we store the metadata and where do we store the digital files. The metadata we obviously are very prescriptive on. It's to be stored in a very separate, dedicated SQL Server 2005 machine, and we can look at failover and replication and the like just as much as you would just with any SQL installation. But we keep the metadata outside of SharePoint, and we also keep the digital files outside of SharePoint, mainly for performance and size limitation reasons, but also for the way that media will come into the system. And when it leaves the system, maybe one thing we haven't touched on is what happens when you get out of the work in progress? Do you want to store it? Does it need to go to a variety of distribution points, mobile, IPTV, broadcast, web, print? You know, there's a lot of different things that an asset will go to, and sometimes the same asset will go to multiple points of distribution. And having the storage of the file outside of SharePoint gives us a greater amount of flexibility. And the same relates to the metadata. You know, the metadata model that we have is very robust, very flexible, and has the capability of bringing in metadata from multiple resources. Then when people start to work with the metadata, layering the metadata in stages if required, or different people supplying different set of metadata per assets or per project. And then when we look at the packaging of the metadata from our environment to those different distribution points, what set of metadata, what format does it need to be in, that capability needs to be flexible. It needs to be malleable in the way that it certainly needs to be secure, certainly needs to be robust in terms of performance, but it also needs to be flexible and not caught in an environment that's not meant to have that type of information pushed around. So two very key things to the IMM solution is just that. Storage is outside of SharePoint, metadata outside of SharePoint.
And where can our listeners go to find out more?
Two sites, really. For the folks that are just wanting to get an overview of what is IMM, see case studies, read about some of our partners, I would direct them to the Microsoft.com WAC IMM site. So that's just www.microsoft.com/IMM. And for the folks that are wanting to dive in a little bit more technically, an easy to remember one as well, and that's just msdn.microsoft.com/IMM.